We're finishing up this morning a series of sermons, if you will, or lessons that was on stages of growth, discipleship. Jesus is the one who said, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." He said that to those first disciples. He says it to every generation. He is saying it to you and me through his word that he wants to use us to bring people into the kingdom. And not just bring them into the kingdom, but help them to grow so that they in turn, at some point in their spiritual growth, can turn around and disciple others. That's what these weeks have all been about. And if it accomplishes anything, I would hope that it would start you and me thinking and being honest with ourselves as to where we are on that growth spiral, if you will. Where we are in relation to where we should be. I'm not talking about chronological age, but I'm talking about spiritual developmental growth. The passage I want to read to you this morning comes from the 16th chapter of Matthew. It's a very familiar passage. We dealt with it on several occasions, but this passage seems to wrap up what this entire growth stage and these stages of growth is all about. It's that passage where Jesus is with his disciples at Caesarea Philippi, which is all the way in the far north of the Bible lands. You can go and visit it even today, the ruins of the area where Jesus said these words. He is about 18 months into his three-year ministry, so he's halfway through it. We know that he lived at home until he was 30 years of age. He then left home and had a ministry from 3 to 3.5 years. There's a couple of different ways to look at the events in the New Testament, but roughly 3 years. And this passage happened at the midpoint. I think that's significant, because I think Jesus was actually saying, okay, I brought you to this point. I brought you this far. Let's do a little checkup and see if you truly understand what I'm asking you to do. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he was asking his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say you're John the Baptist, others Elijah, but still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." Jesus then said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona," which means son of Jonah, "because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell or Hades will not overpower it." See, at this midway point of his ministry, Jesus did a checkpoint. He did a little test, a little evaluation. He wanted to make sure that these disciples were growing in their understanding. And so I would submit to you that this passage does the same for each one of us today. Because within this conversation that Jesus had, not with just Peter, though it was directed at him, and he is the one who is quoted in this passage, but Jesus was saying against the backdrop of all of his disciples, trying to help them understand that they should see themselves in light of the mission that they've been called to accomplish. And that is to make disciples. Not just bring people in and leave them at a stage of infancy to where they never grow, but to help them mature from infancy into childhood, into young adulthood, and finally into what we call a spiritual parent. This passage seems to tie it all together. I printed for you on the worship guide, and we have up on the screen, that growth spiral, if you will. If you'll take the worship guide that you have in hand, hopefully you have one. If not, you can look at the one on the screen. But the one that we have in the worship guide has some key words printed on it that we don't have up on the screen. That's why I want you to pay attention to it. This is that cycle of growth. These are those stages of growth that every single one of us move through. Talking spiritual growth now. You have there at the very top, noon, if you will, moving to the right, those who are spiritually dead. And the word that summarizes those who are spiritually dead, those who were lost, is that they live a life of unbelief. You and I were that way. Now, many of us perhaps came to Christ when we were very, very young. To see Joy Tenney go to the waters of baptism today is indeed a wonderful thing. She was brought up in a home where it was easy to love Jesus, no doubt. And so the decision for her to come to that step of faith and the decision of faith was one that felt natural. Others of us didn't grow up that way. And your conversion to Christianity, your meeting Jesus, your giving your life to Him may have come chronologically when you were a teenager or maybe even a young adult. Maybe some of you are sitting here and you've yet to make that choice. You're living a life, whether you acknowledge it or not, of unbelief. But the point is, we all were in that situation. As innocent as we may have appeared, as young as we might be, as moral as we might live, without Christ, we're lost. We're dead. That's what the Bible says. And we live in a sphere, in an environment of unbelief. But then that change happens. It happened to you. Now, I'm not saying you have to understand that there is a date and an hour and a place where this happened to you. Some of us can do that. Some of you can say, I know I remember well when I prayed to receive Christ as Savior and Lord. Others of us, it's just a decision we know we made at some point, but it's not like we can go back on the calendar and mark it. That's not the point. The point is, you were born again. I was born again. And that's a spiritual choice when we ask Jesus to come into our lives and we become followers of Jesus. That's why Jesus said, who do men say that I am? And Simon Peter answered there in verse 16, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Christ to us, for many people, is Jesus' last name. No, it's not first name Jesus, last name Christ. Christ is a title. It is a designation, and it literally means Messiah. In Hebrew, it's Messiah. In Greek, it's Christ. So when Peter said, you are the Christ, he was literally saying, you are the chosen one. You are the Messiah. See, people thought Jesus was one of several individuals. All of them were very important. When Jesus said, who do some say the Son of Man is? They answered, well, here are the ones, the top choices. Some say you're John the Baptist. He had been executed, and they thought he had come back from the dead because John was one who preached a message of turning away from sin, and he was a fiery prophet. And so some thought that Jesus was just the resurrected John the Baptist. No. Some say Elijah. Why Elijah? Because Elijah is that one prophet in the Old Testament who was taken up into heaven. He went up in a chariot of fire. He didn't experience death as we understand it. And so some thought that God was bringing back the spirit of Elijah in the life of Jesus. Jeremiah, why was he singled out? He was the prophet that was with the people when they were in exile to Babylon and all those generations. He was the one who led the people and held them together, if you will. But Jesus said, people say all manner who I am and what I stand for. But I'm asking you, and this is where, when we're spiritually dead, at some point we're born again and we become followers of Jesus, and we're infants. We're babies. Babies are characterized by, there's the word right there. Read it. What is it? Someone tell me. Ignorance. Babies, the baby stage, the infant stage of Christian spiritual growth, it begins in infancy and it begins with ignorance. We've talked about that. Babies have to be held. Babies have to be fed. Babies cannot survive, and you can't just put them in a room and say, hope you live happily ever after. It's ridiculous. Nor can spiritual infants make it on their own. They are living not a life of unbelief. They're children of God. But they're living a spiritual life of ignorance. They don't know. They don't understand. That's why many people who pass by our building will get word back to us one way or the other that they'd never think about coming in to this building because it's a church and they don't understand it and it's foreign to them and it's unfamiliar to them. I can see that. I can see new Christians, baby Christians, infant Christians coming in. And because of that ignorance, we have to give them a lot of latitude. That's why we need to soften our approach perhaps. And when people come in and we greet them and make them feel welcome, that we don't judge them by the clothes that they wear or how they look or just by their demeanor. Spiritual infants live in ignorance. And then you notice the next stage there was the stage of childhood. Childhood is characterized by selfishness. It is in chronological growth. Our third daughter, Lindsay, is married to Robbie. They both grew up in our church. Robbie is a minister at Venturi Bible Church in our area, and he's in Russia. He left a week ago Saturday and was helping lead a worship conference with Russian churches over there. So Lindsay packed up all of her belongings with her children, and she's been with us all week, except for a couple of times with Barb and the other grandmother. She's been with them for a little bit. You know, we often said it's wonderful being a grandparent because you can have your grandchildren for a little while and then you can send them home. Well, we couldn't send them home. They were with us all week. And Jenner didn't feel good for several of the days. He had a virus, stomach virus. And children, toddlers, they are selfish. They want their mother. They used to like me. And when I'm in the room, they just look at me and go, no. I don't know why. I mean, I'm sitting here wanting to go, this is my house and you're a guest. But that doesn't work. They're selfish. One of our daughters, Brooke, has no children. I didn't mean anything by that. She just didn't have any kids right now. But she follows a Facebook page of someone who is writing from the perspective of a toddler. And with this time change last night, she sent this to us this morning. It says it's from a toddler's point of view, so a little child. Attention all toddlers. Do not be alarmed. You did not sleep past the regular hour. They tampered with the clocks to confuse you and flaunt their authority. To get revenge, all naps today are canceled. Feel free, however, to fall asleep at 5 p.m. for no more than 45 minutes after crying all afternoon. This will push bedtime back 3 to 4 hours. This will teach them to fool with our emotions. And then it says, oh, hello, mother. I didn't see you there. For breakfast, I'll have cereal, eggs, and a side of your tears. Love and kisses. Children, by nature, are selfish. Spiritual children, by nature, are selfish. We've talked about that. Just want to drill it into you because I want you to be honest as to where you are. And if most of your spiritual talk, if most of your motivation, if most of what you are drawn to because of church and spiritual things is basically what it can do for you, then chances are you've made it out of infancy. You're not ignorant. You understand the basics of the faith. You believe the Bible. So you're a child. And I think most of our churches are filled with spiritual children. And some of them are my age. Young adult. Young adults, right there, past 6 o'clock. The word that characterizes a young adult is service. You remember, this is that stage where you begin to get it. You begin to move away from this is all about me or what I can do, but it's more about serving. And this is a wonderful thing to see happen in the life of a church. And I think it is happening in our church. I think we have lots of spiritual young adults, people who, for whatever reason, now understand and they serve with a sense of joy. It's not a drudgery. It's not something that they're just doing to check off some spiritual box, but it is truly something that that gratifies them, that helps them to see that in helping others, they're doing the will of God. We need young adults in our church. And then that fourth stage, parenting. This is the one that is characterized by the word intentionality. Intentional. These are the ones, once again, I'm talking about chronological age, and I'm saying parent because a parent has children. And in this scenario and in this logic, in this illustration, a spiritual parent is one who is nurturing and helping to raise spiritual children. So that what? So that they can move from infancy to childhood to becoming a young adult and finally themselves begin to see and to catch the real vision that God has for us in making disciples of others. Okay, now, I want to ask you to think about three brief things before we're through. I want you to think about an intentional disciple. Who was the person that did this for you? Somebody, hopefully, discipled you. Now, it may not have been sitting down with a specific book and meeting so many weeks at a certain day at a certain time. But I'm talking about someone who took responsibility for you. And they may not have said it in those words. They may not have said, I'm a spiritual parent and you're just a baby and I want to help you grow. But it happened. Someone along the way. And it may be that, like many of us, we may have several spiritual parents. People in your life that you crossed paths with, people who nurtured you, people who encouraged you, people who held you accountable. That person was intentional about that process. And what I'm asking you to do, what I ask myself to do, is acknowledge that someone did that for me. Someone did that or is doing that for you. And so you ought to be hoping and seeing that if you're looking back at that, you don't have to take it back there, but if you're looking at that spiral, if you're looking at that growth stage, that growth circle, you're going to begin to see that you're making progress and that you're growing. Someone did that for you. And if our church is going to be the kind of church that God is going to continue to bless, we're going to have to raise up intentional disciples. I don't know how many. I would like to say I'd love to have hundreds. That may be wishful thinking, but surely we have some of you, some of us, who would begin to see that my responsibility at this stage of my life spiritually is not just to soak it in, but it's to be intentional about taking on someone that's moving through the stages of growth and helping them. You got to have a relational environment to do that as well. And that relational environment, hear me, is not here in this big room. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that we don't accomplish anything in here. This is very important. This is part of what it means to help us grow, to be the congregation, to come together as the people of God. But if you're going to help people through those stages of growth, or if you want to move from childhood to the next step, it's going to take something more than just what you can get when we gather here in this big room. It's going to take a small group. It's going to take, we call it Bible study. Sunday school is a place where this can happen. And beyond that, it can happen when, if you are really intentional about finding someone and seeing someone who needs to move through those stages of growth and someone who will be willing to walk that journey with you, then it may be that it's a time and a day that is set aside from Bible study, though it can be there. That's where those relationships can deepen. Certainly outside of what we do here in the big room. So I guess what I'm asking you is that if you're one whose your schedule is filled with spiritual things, that's great. If you're going to umpteen Bible studies each and every week, I'm not criticizing those. I'm just asking you to ask yourself this question. Could I better use some of my time to take on Jane or to take on Bill? And to disciple them. Or if you're in the position where that's what you desire and that's what you want, don't be quiet about it. Let us know. I'm not asking for a formal sign up. I'm not asking you to commit to anything right now other than if this is where you are, if you're wanting to grow, if you're wanting to see yourself moving through those stages and you need some help, then we can give it to you. And if you're one of those who should be reaching out and stepping out and being intentional about helping others, maybe you can carve a little bit of your time in your schedule and drop this worthy event. Not that it's not important, but seek to do something to help keep this process growing, which is the third and the final one. The process that is reproducible. This process of making disciples is one that happens over and over and over again. As long as there are babies being born, as long as people are spiritually dead and lost and living in unbelief, this process is one that must happen over and over again. We share the good news of Jesus with those who need to hear it. We share that with those who are spiritually dead. We seek to connect those who are moving from infancy into childhood. We seek to minister to all people, but especially those who are moving into that place of young adulthood where they're beginning to serve, we're beginning to see and beginning to hand over those things to them so that they continue to grow. And we disciple people. We parent them. We make a difference in their lives. Okay, here's the deal. We don't need a bunch of babies in our church who should be children. We don't need a bunch of spiritual children in our church who need to be young adults. And we certainly don't need to stop and say, just because you are serving, then you've reached everything that God wants you to be and reached where He wants you to go. Because that's not true. Because Jesus said, we're to go out and make disciples. So, are you going to stay in infancy? Are you going to continue to be selfish the rest of your spiritual and physical life? Are you going to just be happy serving? Or do you want to see people's lives changed as they are brought into God's kingdom and we see them grow? Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to come before you, to call upon your name, to be honest with who we are and where we are. Help us to make those choices that show we love you. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. We offer an invitation as we conclude this hour today. It's the way we conclude each and every hour. Maybe you're here today and you've never stepped out of that little place up there called unbelief, spiritual deadness. Maybe you know now that Jesus indeed is the Christ, just as Peter did. And you're wanting to step into becoming a follower of Jesus. You wanted to be born again. Yeah, you'll be an infant. Be a lot of things you got to learn, but that's where you begin. We invite you to make that choice if that's what God is leading you to do. Maybe you're here today and you know the Lord, just never told anyone. Tell us. Profess your faith publicly. Make a stand. Do that before this congregation, and so do it before the world. Follow Him in believer's baptism if that's something you've yet to experience of your own choosing. Maybe you're here today and it's just a place to connect, a place to belong. That's what you're looking for and that's what you need. Well, here we are. You showed up here. Maybe this is where you normally attend, but you've never made it official. And I ask you to plug in officially into our church if that's where God's leading you. Or for goodness sakes, find the place where you can plug in, where you can serve, where you can begin moving and growing from those stages one to the next. Once again, it all goes back looking at that circle. Gosh, I'd like to think myself as a parent some days, but sometimes I relapse back into childhood. Don't you? It's human nature. Does that make it right? Maybe what we need is just a true revival within our hearts. and a commitment to act our age spiritually and move forward. Those decisions need to be made today. If you want someone to pray with you, Ray's here to pray, Sandy's here to pray, Lon's in the balcony. We stand together. Our ministers are here to greet you, to help you as we sing. Won't you step out right now?